Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Ranking the Tracks. It's Wednesday night. It's the live edition of Two Legs. Tom Hunyadi here, joined by my partner crime once again, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
We have finally reached the post-2000s, early 2000s period of Ranking the Tracks. And 20-some-odd weeks has gone by, and man.
Can you believe that? 20 weeks that we've been at this.
Yeah, yeah. Already there's Oliver and Hudson.
Hey, hi guys. Too faithful.
Yeah, on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
How you guys doing? Good to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for popping on. I want to just make sure that the chat's working, which it is, and get it moved over so we can see what we're doing.
Well, you can still like it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with liking it. I mean, just because you don't love the album anymore doesn't mean anything. I mean, I played this. I mean, we'll talk about this in a few minutes. But Oliver, when are you starting your podcast, buddy?
Yeah.
Someone even younger than Hudson.
Yeah, these guys weren't even born when this album came out.
Right.
Which is scary.
Exactly.
Which is scary. Tom
Two
Brennan.
Songs. Okay. Tom, how you doing, buddy? Hi.
Yeah, ranking the tracks of good old Driving Rain, or as our friend Joe Mayo says, Thriving Pain.
Right.
Thriving Pain.
So this album, you know, we were talking before we went live, you know, we were both really excited about this. I mean, new McCartney album in the new millennium.
First album after Linda. It was the anticipation back then in 2001 was so great for this record. New McCartney record. You know, and then of course 9/11 happened. So, you know, that's 9/11 is a really parallel context with this album. Then we're going to get to that with Freedom and everything, but you know, it's 2001. So it has that kind of, and maybe that's why it has that little history, you know? Do you remember when he went on Larry King?
Heather was on with him, wasn't it?
He went on Larry King and he actually showed how that little brand new watch he got that took the picture of everything.
Yeah,
because Larry King is actually on the back.
He's on the cover. Yeah, exactly.
He's on the cover.
Hello, Chase. Thanks for being
Chase,
here.
Hello. Yeah, you were born in 07. Yeah, so you're a younger fan. And last time when I were talking, it's an album that, given the work that McCartney put out after this record, it was going to be hard pressed to stand up to because the albums were so much, it was chaos, Memory Almost Full, New. Right. You know, so those are fantastic albums. And Driving Rain, I'm sure, has its fans.
Yes.
But it seems to be the one that really does, in the last 20 years, takes the biggest.
Right. I mean, of all the albums from the last 20 years, this is the one where people consider the least favorite of the bunch, I would say.
And I think that's just academics because the other ones were so good.
Mm-hmm.
If the other ones were not that good, I mean, Chaos was commercially and critically great. So was Memory Was Full. So was New. So if one of those albums was a real big dud or bam, maybe Driving Rain keeps its luster.
Well, let's talk about, we got 16 songs here. It was supposed to be 15. We ended up with 16.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had to put the Freedom on the album. Tony, good to see you. Susan,
hey,
how
Tony.
You doing? Good to see you guys.
Yeah. Well, Oliver, it was a horrible time, but, you know, it probably was already scheduled to be released.
Yeah, I mean, it was already scheduled to be released.
And it came out in November of 2001, Oliver.
After being delayed.
Correct.
Because of the song Freedom.
Right. But it didn't come out until November 2001. So, there was a couple, and that was so, you know, that's why Freedom delayed it a little bit. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Day Tripper, good to see you, Tony. Yeah. You know, Ken Michaels has this strange power of convincing people that something that you don't care for is actually kind of good. But I think that's a good thing. You know what? I played this album so much that first month that it kind of wore on me a little bit, you know. But ever since then, I was kind of like, I'll play it for like a week and then put it away and then, you know, play it a month later, you know, and I don't just get overexposed with it like I did with that album.
Learn
my lesson. Serge, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Even grabbed I grabbed the vinyl of this at the time when it came out as well.
You did?
Yep, I bought it in New York and right around late 2001, early 2002. I think it was like $30. So I grabbed
it. Right, double album.
Double album, pocket, no gatefold.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's not a gatefold. It's just a pocket with two LPs in it.
Okay.
Yeah, and that, you know, now again, incredibly hard to find.
Right. Yeah, I mean, going well over $200.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You ever bid on one or no?
No. I mean, I'm perfectly fine if I just wait for the
reissue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at 20 years now. I mean, somebody could own it for 20 years and just, you know, the wear and tear on it. You know, I mean, I really don't want to buy a record that has wear and
that
tear.
That has that much wear and tear.
Wear and tear, yeah, 20 years, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, what's going on from me to you? It's a really good album, loads of good tracks.
Tom Brennan says, I still don't like spinning on an axis, no matter how many times Ken says it's good. Yeah.
No, I hear you. I hear you. What about the 16 tracks? I mean, was that like too much, or what do you think?
I think in hindsight, yeah, could have done a little bit of trimming.
Right. But if those 16 tracks were great, you know, then we'd be going, oh my God, this is, you know, 16 tracks. Why can't all of them, you know, be so heavy with tracks?
Yeah. I do have to say though, this is my least favorite Paul McCartney album.
It is. Of all time.
Of all time.
Wow.
Is it yours?
No.
What is yours?
Actually, lately, it's become Pipes of Peace. Yeah.
So lately. Lately. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't have, I don't think it has that one, even though I love So Bad a lot and I love The Other Me, and you know, and the big ballad on there. What is it? What's the big ballad on that one? Through Our Love. Yeah. It doesn't have that big standout track, you know, like a
Wanderlust,
like a Wanderlust or No More Lonely Nights. You know, I you know, and Broad Street's not my favorite record by any means either.
Oh, because it's half a cover record.
Right. But it has the strength of No More Lonely Nights on it. So.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Through Our Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Really excited that this album came out.
Yeah. It was just because it was the first album after Linda passed away. And I remember the hype machine back then was pretty big for this one. In fact, they even, to boost sales, they ended up re-releasing the album with that slip cover of him.
Cover, right. Yes.
This cover was just so, you know, it should be in a museum, right? It's so
right.
Wonderful, wonderful cover of him in the bathroom. You know, come on. Really?
I mean, and it got good reviews too. I mean, this album got favorable reviews
critically, but yeah. I don't think it fared too well. I think it went to 20. What did it go to? It was in 21 on the charts, something like that. Mm.
Yeah.
But having said that, with every Paul album, there's gems on it, and we're gonna get to that. I mean, you know, even though it's my least favorite, there's some really strong songs on it that I really feel about.
Right. Yeah. Two LPs for this album, Tony, because I mean, the album was 60 minutes long. So you're not going
to
get,
I should have grabbed it before we went on just to show people they've never seen it. That's all right. Two LPs, and it's a long one. I remember at the time, if you went to Paul's website, which back then was just mplcommunications.com.
Okay.
They would play you when this song came out. You could stream From a Lover to a Friend through his website.
Oh, really?
And just listen to it that way.
Okay.
Andy, if this is your least favorite, I can't wait to hear your rankings. The promo was so little here.
Huh.
I know. Hudson says he looks drunk. No. No, he's actually just going to the bathroom.
Yeah. It's that Austin Powers moment when he gets unfrozen and he's just sitting there going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I guess we can get going in the ranking.
And this record also features the very talented Gabe Dixon, who we had on here a few months ago.
Very true. I mean, we had the first appearance of Rusty and Abe as well. That became, you know, band members for the most part for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So is it my turn this week? Or yours?
It's odd. I think you're odd. Yeah. You start with odds.
Yeah, I'm odds. Yeah. And I am. So, I'll go first. Okay. 16 for me is Spinning on an Axis.
God, oh, wow.
That song is awful. So I forget, somebody else in the comments said that they didn't like that song either. God, I can't stand that song. Oh, world spinning round. Oh, God.
The next revolution.
Oh, terrible, terrible song. There, Joe. He's not watching, but if you're not watching in TV land, there, Joe, I said it's terrible. Okay. Yes, I do not like Spinning on an Axis. So that's 16 for me.
Okay. My 16 will be the reason why it got postponed. Freedom. You know, Clapton is the only saving grace for this song. I mean, he gives it a nice guitar solo at the end, but Freedom is just, I mean, the lyrics are just, you know, terrible. He should have he would have been remembered just for the concert alone. You know what I mean? I think the song is so bad that it kind of lessens his appearance on that show or on that, you know, on that concert.
It really, and I honestly, the Who stole the show that concert.
Oh, I mean, they're used to that, Paul. You know, I mean, Paul Circus.
Paul chooses to play From a Lover to a Friend, a song nobody knows at the concert.
Right.
City. Come on. That's, you know, that was not a wise decision.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure he knew he was going out on tour. So he wanted to test.
But then he didn't even play that song on tour. So come on.
True.
Yeah, but again, that's a case with Freedom where, you know, the intention's great, but the, you know, good, nice intention, but just a bad song.
Agreed.
And that's why it's my 15.
Okay.
For all those reasons why you said that. Clapton, the only saving grace on it, for sure. And then again, you know, the album, the whole album gets delayed for that one extra track, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, then he just re-recorded it, you know, again on this, you know, you thought you were, because that was the version on here is just a crowd noise from New York City, but then a re-recording of the song, which is clearly, you know, David Bowie stole the show. Well, he was good too, but you watch it again there, Oliver, the Who stole the show at the concert in New York City. And that's a universal, agreed opinion.
That music lover says he likes Freedom. So, I mean, that's fine. You know, if it's got his fans, it's great.
So that was Freedom is my 15. What's your?
Okay. All right. My 15 is Back in the Sunshine again. You know, it's, oh, I mean, it's not a highlight for me at all. I think this one goes on maybe a bit too long as well.
Doom, doom.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I do like the opening bit. Here we are, you know, back in the sunshine. I like that. I like his singing on this song, but that's about it.
Oh, you don't like the, so like that little screeching towards the end. No more worries. You don't like that.
It's okay. It's okay. But yeah, I mean, there's times where I do like when he does things like that, but I just think the lyrics are like just very uneventful to me. And this one, so yeah, this one does nothing for me.
Okay. 14 for me. This might be unpopular because I know it has its fans. Rinse the Raindrops is 14. Too long. Too long. And I like when Paul's experimental because I love stuff like Secret Friend.
Right.
I don't think that's too long. So it's not a thing about long songs. I just think this one, this is where this album gets padded out a little too much. Rinse the Raindrops. It's got a nice little groove in it at the beginning. Dun, 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 dun. I know that's that evolved from a jam.
Right.
And I think Gabe talked about it with us, I think. It's just, it's too long. It's too long. And if that song was, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, but it's 10 minutes. And it just, yeah, no bueno for me.
Okay, well, you're not going to like where I have at 10. 14.
You're not going to like where you're not going to like where I have Back in the Sunshine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's fine. 14 for me is like I feel like I should like this song and I just don't yet. It sucks because it's a rocker as well, and that's About You, and it's you know, it's perfect length, 2 minutes 45 seconds, you know. You know, gonna say it about you. I mean, it just lyrically I don't think it's anything special, and so that, you know, loses points in my opinion. But you know, you give me power to get out of bed. Okay, great.
you should.
When in the morning I'm feeling dead. You know.
Right. No. It's. Yeah. I'm with you on that. But it's a song that you would think it has all the, you know, it's a classic rocker. It should be good.
Right.
But it's just there's nothing really going there. And that's, brother, why That is my 13. About You is my 13 for all those same reasons. It's a song that like you want to like, you just can't. And I totally agree with you. I know that Rusty said, if you look in the Driving Rain tour book, every band member gets asked what their favorite song on the album is. Mm-hmm. Rusty said this was his favorite song.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So clearly, you know, he dug it. But again, it's too impromptu, too jammy. And yeah, go say it about you.
Yeah.
We're playing Play It or Skip It. Skip it.
Right. 13. This is spinning on an axis for me.
Okay.
Here, I mean, at 5 minutes 16 seconds, this one is just a little too long for me. Spinning on an axis, you know, I like the world spinning around to the next revolution. That part is fine. But then when it gets really going into the song, you know, I want to watch the sun go down. Almost feels like he's trying to rap a little
rap.
Bit.
Yes. Yes. That's a great point.
You know, and now I'm gonna, you know, come back tomorrow. Ain't no reason it has to do that. It's the season of the culture.
Season of culture,
you know,
culture back. Time out. Right. Time out. Right. Leave that crap to the rappers, not you.
Right.
Yeah.
So spinning on the axis is 13. Yeah.
Okay. 12 for me is She's Given Up Talking.
Oh.
It's okay. But that whole don't say a word thing kind of gets it grates on me a little bit. Okay. I do like some of the lyrics though. You see her on a playground looking on her own. Everybody wonders why she's all alone. I like that wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole don't say a word bit that goes on and on and on really, really drags down for me. Okay. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't say a word then. How about say nothing? How about not write that song? So, yeah, it's some of these songs just haven't aged well in the era of so much other great McCartney music. If Paul had only done one more album after this, maybe we evaluate these tracks differently.
Mm-hmm.
So
possibly,
you know, so it's just, it gets forgotten with all the great stuff that he's done since then. So that's 12.
Okay. 12 for me is Heather.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know,
is it because of the lyrics? This,
yeah. The lyrics are silly.
Cause you can't tell me you don't like the melody. I know you do.
Oh, melody is beautiful.
I know you do.
And I would have been so happy if he just didn't give us any lyrics on this song at all. You know, I'm going to fly to the moon. Okay. Checking out of space. I mean, it's just really silly. Find me a suitable plot and build myself a place. I do like, you know, there I will stay for a year and a day until the cares of my life blow away. But it's either you don't make it a lyrical song or you do make it a lyrical song. You know what I mean? It's like if all you got is a verse to it, then scratch it. Scratch it.
Just leave it an instrumental.
However, do keep that, you know, the whisper of Heather at the end. I do like that.
That was very appropriate considering how that relationship was going to pan out.
Right.
Heather, go away. Maybe end the song that way.
Yeah, so Heather's my 12.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to be flip-flopping all over the place with this one, but that's good.
I feel like it should be higher. I do. You know what I mean?
The melody is the worst part of this song of Heather. Oliver.
Oh man, no.
Oliver, you gotta listen to that song again, pal. I know you're a young fan, but man, no, that's classic McCartney melody writing.
Right, exactly.
At its finest. And even though we might not like the lyrical content of the song, you can't deny that song's melody.
Right.
It's terrible lyrics, but it's a great melody. 11 for me is All the World's a Tiny Bubble.
Mm.
Yeah, although I get the song that Gabe Dixon told us about and he played on.
Yeah.
Nice organ on it. But it's just a little too nonsensey for me, you know. That song just never, it's okay. I liked it a lot more back in the day when the album first came out. I was like, this is poppy. But then I actually ended up becoming appreciated of some other tracks on this album, which I've ranked higher now, thanks to meeting people in our little podcast circle, which I'll get to later. 20 years ago, I would have had Tiny Bubble in my top five, but not now.
Interesting.
Not now.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. 11 for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's go for a drive.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Let's go there let's and go back there again.
Back again.
Yeah, I mean it's a nice hook. I mean, it's like musically it's nice again. I like it for the music, but I just don't like necessarily like it for the lyrics. You know, nothing wrong, it's just insane. Nothing's right until you're back again. You know, it's just a so-so song to me.
Yeah. These are the kind of songs, and it's my number. It's my number 10. So there we go again. It lines up. It lines up again for us. Right. These are the songs that people love to criticize. People criticize McCartney for.
Right.
3, 4, 5. Let's go for a drive. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Again, terrible lyrics, but it's, you know, the driving rain. It kind of has that nice little fade out at the end. But other than that, it's kind of lazy and, It's just a weaker track. Yeah. It's not great.
But it is kind of catchy in a way musically. I think it's fine musically, but yeah. Again, lyrically, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. It is. It really is. It was much better live. And when I saw this tour in New York in April of 2002. So.
See, and I can see that. I can definitely see this song being better live than on the record.
And it was. Right. And it certainly was. It was live.
Yeah, and then, you know, Mo comes up with a good point. Altogether Now classic, though. But is it? I mean, I don't think people consider Altogether Now in the, you know, the top, you know, echelon of Beatles songs. Of Beatles songs, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's well known, yeah, but I don't think people put that in there in the top half of great Beatles songs like Hey Jude or Day in the Life. You know what I mean?
It's better than Driving Rain.
Right. Well, true.
Yeah. I'd rather learn to count them all together now, said Brad.
Right. Too funny. Okay. So you just did your 10 then, right?
Yep. So you're doing your 10.
All right. My 10 is She's Giving Up Talking, which I do like a little bit better than you. I do like and when she comes home again, it's yep, yep, yep. I love the lyric. Words are flowing freely like a water from a tap. Love that line.
Yeah.
And I can see where you're talking about with the lyrics. Then, you know, it's kind of silly, you know,
repetitive,
right? Yeah, exactly. But I dig this one, and there's a really cool guitar solo on this song. I love the way Rusty's guitar solo sounds on this track, and I think that's one of the best parts about that song is the guitar solo,
of course. Yeah. Which we can both agree there's not enough of in McCartney solo songs.
Oh. Correct. There's never enough guitar solos in McCartney songs.
No, and this
whatever
is case,
reason.
For whatever reason, he never really embellishes all out on them. You know.
Yeah, she's giving up talking. Yeah, well, that part at the end where it's kind of repainting at the end. You know. Yeah, you don't need that. I mean, it's almost 5 minutes long. You probably could have cut, you know, 30 seconds. Minute. A minute. You know,
from this. Yeah. Ed Crawford says She's Giving Up Talking should have been instrumental. That would have been interesting to hear too, because it is such a music. It is all over the place with the solo, right, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
He should have given up talking and singing by this point in the album. Oliver. Yeah, a lot.
And it's
of
only the fourth. Comment. And it's only the fourth song on the track.
I know. And it's only the fourth song on the track. And yeah. Right. A lot of love in the comments for Magic, though. A lot of people seem to have Magic rated as a higher track.
Yes.
Which is cool.
And this is fine. You know, I mean, I know people understand and appreciate what he's singing about in that song. So, I mean,
yeah, we're going to get to that.
Right.
All right. So now number 9 for me is the album opener with the bass, Lonely Road.
Okay. Boom, boom, interesting. Boom,
boom, boom. Yeah. We're in the top 10 now. So
we're
entering that echelon of the songs that we like a lot more than where I mean, 16 tracks. So if it's in the top 10, it's good. And then they're going to get better. Susan has it as She's Given Up Talking as her 16th. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Susan doesn't like this album. She told us on Facebook today. Right. She don't like it.
Well, I mean, we got quite a few of those comments saying people, you know, either they haven't listened to it in a long time, or they just
haven't even listened to it.
Yeah, or they never liked it, and it's just hard for them to rank just because the songs, they don't like the songs, you know, which is fine. It's understandable.
Yeah, very understandable. Yeah, this isn't an album you could go skipping down the park to and listening to it. It's not. It's a dark record. It's a darker record in spots. There's some really bright moments on it, as we're gonna get to it. But all right, so that was Lonely Road, is my nine. Great playing, and again, this was better live than on the album.
Mm.
This was seeing this song performed live was awesome. Okay. But I just didn't. I'm not really a huge fan of it. On this album, bass is way up on it, but he does deliver a hell of a vocal on it, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to lock that, you know, and cool video as well too.
Right, Lonely Road.
Yeah, yeah, good video for this as well. So, yeah, you know, and the lyrics are very interesting. You know, I tried to get over you.
You're right, exactly.
First line of the song.
First line, yes.
First line of the album. Yeah. So, you know, play armchair psychiatrist. You know, what's he talking about there? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, but yeah, a good little rocker, but nothing special for me. Okay. At nine,
got you. For me at nine is I Do. If you only knew how much it meant to me. Wow. You understand? Yeah, I mean, I do like this. However, I used to like it a lot, you know, so it's kind of, you know, sunk down in the list a little bit for me. If we did this 20 years ago, this would probably be in my top five. You know, and okay. I love that days go by so quickly when you're having fun, you know, yep. But life is never easy, even in the sun, you know. So there's some bits I like in here, but and plus, you know, just under 3 minutes. I mean, it's perfect length of a song, you know what I mean? But, you know, musically, I like this one lyrically than I do musically on this one.
You like this one musically better than lyrically?
No, lyrically, I like it. I like it better
lyrically.
Better than musically. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Brad Parnell, a very good comment. I would have liked to have Vanilla Sky on this album. That would have made this album a little bit better, because I think that Vanilla Sky is a great track.
Yeah.
I don't maybe. Maybe you don't maybe. Like. Maybe not. I just love seeing him do that on the Oscars was awesome. I just loved that.
I like that he's kept all of his soundtrack songs off of albums.
Good point.
I like that. You know, because there's some people that will put those on their soundtrack songs on the album. You know, there's a bunch of people. I know Madonna put the Austin Powers song on one of her albums, you know, and it's been done. It's been done several times.
Where is the Paul McCartney soundtrack album of all his songs that have been in movies? Where is that?
And the ones that should have been in movies.
Yeah, right. Where is that record? Come on. That one needs to be out.
Right.
Because there's so many.
Yes. Yep.
But so you had I Do at number nine, huh?
At number nine, yeah.
Okay. I thought you would have had that one a little bit higher. Okay.
Yeah.
Eight for me is the leadoff single From a Lover to a Friend.
Mm.
Again, 20 years ago, probably my one or two.
Okay.
But it's somebody had said in the comments it was very dirge-like. It is dirge-like. And again, it has that kind of atmospheric opening, and then it's just boom. And when the time comes around, we'll be duty bound to the truth we've seen. I don't know. And I usually love Paul piano ballads. This is one, that's tough.
Yeah.
This is one that's tough for me. You know, although there are some really good remixes of it that were done, on one of these singles. Where the hell is it? Yeah. There's like David Kahn remixed this a few times.
Yes, he did. True.
And the remixes of this song are way better than the actual song.
Mm.
I will say that. So if you can find the From a Lover to a Friend remix.
Yeah, got that one. Yep.
Yeah, the remixes are fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. And I enjoy that better. But again, it was the first single. So it was, again, it was on his website. And, you know, he played it in New York City, but it doesn't really do much for me.
Gotcha. And that's your eight?
Eight.
Okay. Before I do I just want to give my cousin Jeff Gracie a shout out. How you doing, Jeff? Good to see you here.
Hey, Jeff.
Appreciate it. And so my eight is, again, this one should have been, I think if, you know, we did this one 20 years ago, I think this one would have been higher, and that's Magic. you know, we talk about, you know, the night he met Linda, or, you yep. know, you know, and was it the bag of nails or
the
something
bag
like
of
that?
Nails. Yep.
Yeah. And I think again, I like this one lyrically better than I do musically. I'm not a big fan of the music on this one, but I like the way he sings it. I liked his approach on this vocally. And it's just more somber than it is like happy memories in a way.
But much more somber. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, looking back at it, you know, I wish it was maybe, I don't know if this would have been better if it was more of a happy song, because, you know, that's the night he met his love of his life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, but it definitely got that mournful
right
soul to it.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, a few minutes later, you would have been out that door. It's very reflective.
Right. Exactly. And I like that part of it. A few minutes later, you'd have been out that door, you know, and I've been lonely forevermore. So, yeah, right. I mean, definitely good point there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Ollie, we know it didn't come out exactly 20 years ago. We're approximating here. It was released in November of 2001, and it's now April of 2021. So we're approximating. That's all. You know, we know it wasn't released exactly.
Don't have to be so specific all the time. I guess.
My own. Yeah. And me. yeah, but that's a very good analysis there, partner. Mm. I never thought of it that way until you mentioned it. So that was cool. And that actually is my seven.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Magic is my seven. The magic is my seven. And all for the same reasons you said.
Yeah.
Magic is horrible production. I don't agree with that.
Well, you know what? I do know that people do complain about the production on this, where, you know, especially like the beginning of songs where you hear like weird sound effects, you know, going on. Like the before the song Driving Rain, you hear this ding, 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 you know, just real sound effects.
Weird. Right. Yeah. Tiny Bubble has that kind of crap going on.
Yeah, and then From a Lover to a Friend, you got la la la, you know,
and then into it, you know. So it is a little bit, it's for those reasons, it's not your typical McCartney album.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes from David Kahn's production. So,
but he clearly liked him because he went back to him.
Right.
He knocked heads there with freaking Nigel Godrich, who told him, hey, look, man, these songs suck, get them better. And he ended up making a classic.
Right.
So, yep. And then he went back to the Yes Man for Memory
Yes
of Man, Soul.
David Kahn.
So, I mean, come on.
You know? All right, so you're seven again?
Magic, yeah. Oh, for all the reasons you said, nothing but memories, you know, burning so bright. It's, you can really listen, you can hear that song and listen to, you can hear the pain in his voice when you listen to that song. And that was from the minute I heard that song, I knew what that song was about.
Right, yeah.
You just knew. You knew that was about Linda, and it was the song, you know, there's shades of him talking about Linda all over this album, from A Lover to a Friend, Lonely Road, Magic. Mm-hmm. So you know, they're all in there, but Magic is the clear one that I think is, if he was ever going to come close to a Here Today type of moment on an album for his wife, I think Magic is it.
Magic is it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. My seven is From a Lover to a Friend. You know, I once considered this one of, you know, McCartney's, you know, best ballads.
We both felt that way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of lost some of its luster over the years. But man, you know, the Let Me Love Again part, you know, when he sings that line, I just really gets to me. And it's, you know, it's just effective. I think the way he presents the song or sings the song, I think, is really moving. I really like it a lot. I think his piano playing on this one is really good. I'm just under 4 minutes, so it's not over long. I think it ends well. But From a Lover to a Friend, I think is really good.
Yes. Hello, Jeffrey. Somebody's saying to say hello, Jeff. So hi, Jeff. Tony says, type all your caps and hello and see. Well, hi, Jeff. We said hello.
We'll say hi no matter if it's capitalized or not.
Yeah. Serge, there's no real great song on this album. Fair.
Okay.
Fair. And I kind of, you know, there's not one. I mean, was there anything on this, off of this album, off of Pure McCartney?
No, there was no songs on Pure McCartney from Driving Rain.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Six for me is Your Way, a little country.
Yeah.
The kind of little country western feel song, which I always thought of could have been a little bit like a Wildlife sounding.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's got that kind of country twang that opens it up, you know.
Yeah.
Again, starts out low.
Yeah.
Goes high with the falsetto, you know, I like it. And then, you know, and you hear reference of another album, you know, like Venus soaring on its way to Mars.
Yep, Mars. Yep. Very true. Very true.
Simple song. And a real highlight on the album for me, Your Way. I've always enjoyed Your Way quite a bit for those reasons, because when all this other dense production going on, you've got a nice little simple kind of laid back country and western type thing that he did there. So that's why I love Your Way.
Yeah, good, excellent. I love it. Let's see, hold on here. Oh yeah, Brad, Tim Allen. You know, even Star Wars Holiday Special had the animated Boba Fett. <50 year. laughs> Good point. I remember watching that way back in what was
Holiday
it,
Special.
Yeah, 78.
Yeah. Which is is it on Disney Plus now? Did they put it on?
I don't think it was part of the Disney. I don't think it was part of the Disney purchase. I don't know if Lucas put that in with the whole Star Wars canon. And you know, why would you? I mean, it's you try to go back and watch it now, and it's just ugh.
It's, I mean, it's on YouTube, but
yeah, exactly. Okay, six. Where are we?
Six for you.
Think you're six. So my six for me is Lonely Road. Again, I like this one, you know, start getting the songs that I really, really like. And I liked the, you know, boom, boom. I like the bass playing that opens the song. And, you know, you said, you know, right off the bat, you know, the first line, tried to get over you, you know, tried to find something new, but all I could ever do was fill my time with thoughts of you. I mean, you know, powerful stuff. And you knew right away that, you know, Linda was still on his mind on this album, you know, and rightfully so. You know, you spend all those years with somebody, you know, there's still going to be, you're still going to draw inspiration from their relationship, even though the person's not with you anymore, you know, unfortunately.
Of course. Yeah.
You know? So, but you can definitely, again, you know, his vocal approach on this is, you know, again, is very moving, very somber again, you know, so yeah, I really dig this one a lot. Yeah.
Kind of goes out there towards the end, screaming, letting it loose, you know, I don't wanna, you know.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Typical, but a good album opener too with those bass.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So that's your six.
Yep.
All right, we're cracking into the top five now for me.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, and my five is number five for me is Back in the Sunshine Again.
Mm.
Again, 15, 20 years ago, I would have had this song way down. Something about this song, I really dig the heaviness of this song. Again, to me, I kind of look at it. I look at it subliminally. You know, is it more of him trying to get over Linda's passing? You know, we're back in the sunshine again. No more worries, no more pain.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the bridge. Life's too short to send and all that. I like all that bit. A lot of great guitar work on it. I've always enjoyed Back in the Sunshine Again. Obviously, I liked it a little bit more than you. But I've always just dug it. It's because it's just here we are back in the sunshine again. And then the way it ends, you know, we're back in the sunshine again, boom,
right
over. Again, and an album that's kind of forgettable. That's one that I frequently come back to when I play it.
Right. Cool. Five for me, my top five, starts with, Your Loving Flame. I love the opening line, you know, how can I hope to reach your love? Help me to discover what it is you're thinking of. I love that line. Love the way it starts. I love the piano playing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he do this on TV with Gilmore doing guitar on it? And
Parkinson. Yes,
Parkinson's. That's correct.
He did it on Parky before. Right. And actually back then the song was known as Chase the Blues Away.
Yeah.
It wasn't even called Your Loving Flame.
Right. Because that was like what, 99, 2000?
99.
Yeah.
99.
When he performed the song. Right.
So that's when this song goes back to.
Right.
And that's a good point. I remember watching the Parkinson show.
Right.
Then and going, oh, that's a new ballad. That's going to be.
Right.
That's a new ballad. I don't know what it's called, but it's damn good.
And you got Gilmore in the background just sitting there, and then all of a sudden he just starts playing. And he's
just sitting down, you know, Gilmore doing a little slide thing, just like he's always done on McCartney songs. You know?
Right. So that being said, then you think, that, okay, he's going to do the solo on the album, which I don't think he does.
No.
No, it's just Rusty.
It's Rusty recreating it. So Your Loving Flame, again, great song live played. This was one mm-hmm. I think somebody mentioned in the comments he played five songs of this album live, which was Loving Flame, Driving Rain,
right,
Lover to Lonely Road, Freedom.
Right.
I think that was it. Because he didn't play From a Lover to a Friend live.
Okay.
Okay. On the tour, that is.
Right.
You had that as your five.
That was my five, my friend.
Yeah. Did you like it? Did you have this ranked a little higher and it's was seated over time or no?
No, it's always been my top five.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number four for me is I Do. Where was that for you?
I Do was nine.
No, I thought it was nine. Yeah. Almost reminds me of a Wings song with the production, yeah. with the production of it, you know, the strings, yeah. good strings on it. Days go by so quickly when right. you're having fun. Again, more falsetto. Please remember this after right. a time is so, you know, and nevermore. All that kind of, you know, all that kind of orchestral work on this song has the hallmarks of a Beatles / Wings type song. So I've always enjoyed I Do for those reasons.
Hmm.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Four for me is, well, oh yeah. Tiny Bubble. If you're part of my love. Yes.
Wow. Love, that's cool.
Love right. me some Tiny Bubble.
Not the old 50s song.
No. But I love it. It's poppy to me. It's one of the more poppy songs, you know, on this album. And, you know, I dig it. You know, I listen, you know, if you can't imagine what you're going through, I mean, I wouldn't wish you so much as you. Yeah. You know,
let's look into the lyrics here a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you're part of my love, you know, don't leave home tonight. You know, while we're sleeping, we can learn to see that all the world's a tiny bubble. You know, I really like that part. And yeah, I like the chorus. I like the verses. So this song really works for me as a whole, lyrically and musically. So this is one of the more complete songs on the album for me.
It's musically very adventurous.
Yeah, exactly. And then Gabe is going crazy on the organ there. I mean, just playing.
This is probably you know, where we hear Gabe the best on this
yeah,
whole album.
Yeah, one of the best. Yes. Yep. That and another one coming up. Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, so that was your four?
That was my four, my friend. Yeah.
All right, top three. Number three for me, and I have to give a shout out to a very, very good friend, dear friend of the show, Dylan Seavey, for this one, because he turned me on to the greatness that this song is. And until I had that conversation with him, I never gave two craps about this song. I listened to it once or twice, and I was like, what crap is this? And I spoke to Dylan one day about it, and he's like, Andy, listen to Riding Through Jaipur again differently. And right. again, and you'll and now I love it. I love Riding Through Jaipur. I think it's a great, it's a trance. Okay, right. it's got the Indian stuff going on to it.
Yep.
Lyrically, it's not a whole lot, but again, I like this musically for what it is.
Yes.
The music part of this song is fantastic.
Yes.
It is fantastic. And I'm not sure where you have it. I know it's in your top three. I don't know where.
Right.
But Riding to Jaipur, again, lyrically not much, but you know, all the Indian instruments that are in it make that song a real different song in the McCartney catalog that stand out to me. And I enjoy it quite a bit.
Mm. Cool. So,
top right three.
Love it. Yeah, that's great. You know, sometimes you do have to look at something differently in order to appreciate it. And when it hits you like a ton of bricks.
You know, so, you know, talking to Dylan, I see it through his eyes and I'm like, I know what he's talking about. That's right. Now I get what he's saying. So right. Thank you there, Maestro.
Very good. So we're with three. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my three is the almost album closer, Rinse the Raindrops, the 10-minute rocker, and again, you know, you just don't get these, you know, these mega rockers all the time from Paul, this really crunchy rockers. However, again, you know, no guitar solo anywhere to be found. It's just, you know, riffing, you know, throughout the album. Simple lyrics, but for me, it's just something that just gets me going. It's like a strong cup of espresso. You know what I mean? It's just something that just gives you this burst of energy every time I listen to Rinse the Raindrops. And it also has one of the best screams ever recorded from McCartney on an album, in my opinion. You know that, you know that, ah, you know, he does there at towards the end of the song is just, I think, fantastic.
True.
You know? I mean, I know it's like, you know, we, Gabe talked about this being like a half hour jam. And, you know, they brought it down to
10 minutes,
you know, but I think it's a very good, entertaining 10 minutes that I don't lose any interest.
Never.
So
you don't, huh?
No, not at all.
All right.
No.
So in the almost 20 years that this album's came out, I might have listened to that song in duration maybe three times. Yep. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to put the Tom Hunyadi ears on after we're done. I'm going to listen to it and see if I can, you know, if I
never once has I never once have I skipped this track or
no
fast forward it. Yeah. You know, at any part in, of the song. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Because what, how does it feel? Well, see, yeah. So it follows. So it would have been the album closer.
It would have
closed. It would have been the
closed
album.
The album.
In fact,
yes.
In fact, because you know, on the booklet, the Freedom's not on it, obviously.
Correct.
So
correct.
You're looking right at this. So it would have been the album closer properly.
Right.
I'm gonna give it the old college try and listen to it again and try with a fresh approach and see if I, because again, I probably haven't listened to it in years. So, but hearing you rank it where it is, I'm intrigued. So okay. That's your three?
That's my three, yeah.
All right, number two for me, Tom has already ranked this quite low, so is for me is the song Heather.
Okay.
That's Paul McCartney writing melodic. Again, forget the lyrics. We know the lyrics are crap, okay? They are. Okay, they're not that much, and as Tom said, you probably could have just not said anything, and it would have been great.
Right.
I agree with him. But this is like McCartney, this melody on Heather. You know, the story, legend has it, he was playing it and Heather thought it was a Beatles song. Why? Right. Because it has those qualities.
Correct.
This kind of melody would not be out of place on Abbey Road. It would not. You know, and then he's got the oohing and the eyeing through it. You
yes.
Know, ooh, doo-doo-doo-doo, and he scant, you know, scant vocals in the background. I think all that is fantastic. So for me, you know, and then you got the great guitar playing from Rusty. Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
So I think Heather is, and I know Susan's got that ranked up pretty high as well. I'm not sure where it was, but I knew she did. So when I saw that, I was like, ah, okay, I'm on the same page with my pal Susan again. I've always enjoyed Heather, except for the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's one of the strongest melodies he's ever written. So it's why it's two.
Right. You know, and it's funny because even if it wasn't, let's say if he presented this song during the Wings era, you know, obviously we're not going to call it Heather, but can you imagine like the Denny Linda backing vocals on this, on that melody? Yeah. Oh, forget it.
Yeah. You put the Wings sound on this song.
Yeah.
Are you the only one that can't stand Heather? I don't know. Take a poll, Oliver. I know it has its fans.
Right.
It has its detractors, I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, Heather's my two, so y'all know what my one is.
Yeah. Two for me is Riding in the Jaipur. I've always loved this track. It's, you know, the melody I just love. I love the Indian sounding instruments, you know, on here. I think he does a guitar on it and makes it sound like it's kind of like a sitarish, you know, in a way. Stuff that sounds like a tabla, you know, going on in the background too. You know, yeah. And then, you know, it was so cool having when Gabe started playing a little bit of this on the piano, you know, during our interview with him. It was so cool because this is another song that you hear a lot of Gabe on the song. So yeah, melody wise, it's, you know, lyrically again, like Heather, you can scratch the lyrics. You know, the lyrics are just whatever. It's more of a mantra than anything. But yeah, melody, it's perfect. I love the ding, 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 you know, and I like the do 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 do. Yeah, yeah, it just yeah gets me. I listened to it like three or four times today.
Did you?
Yeah. You know, because I was playing the album, you know, at work, and then, you know, this song comes on, it ends, and, you know, just, you know, hit the playback and play
my baby.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. I like that.
And the vocal effects on that part.
The With My Baby stuff looped is really cool. Yes. That I do like.
Yeah.
And you hear it's like, it's kind of phasing, you know, that's like mm-hmm. phasing effect, you know.
Yes.
Yep. Which is cool. I, again, you know, and that's why we revisit these albums, because,
right.
you know, we talk to people, we interview people, we converse with people, and, you know, a song that you might have cast off for decades, somebody loves, and you say, oh, I'll give that another chance. And I did. And we'd done this show a year ago. I don't even think I would have had Riding to Jaipur in the top.
Yeah. It says Rusty played tampura, then overdubbed Gibson electric 12-string guitar. You got Abe doing some African drum samples on here as well. So
sure,
you know. So yeah, I mean, it's just you don't hear this kind of stuff from Paul a lot. And then when you know when he gives you again, this is like a little you know a drum. I mean, a gem for me.
Absolutely, know? Totally, yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. So. All right, number one in the books, but number one on your hearts, your Loving Flame. Yeah, and those of you that have been following the rankings, you know, well, some of you like to call me album title Andy, which, again, in this case, you'd be wrong for you people in TV land, because I didn't put Driving Rain as number one, so one for me in that column. So, yeah, your Loving Flame is, it is in the, for me, it's in the Beautiful Night, No More Lonely Nights category of McCartney ballads.
Cool.
That's where I would put it. You know, and the whole, you know, you could be the one to chase my blues away.
So yeah.
It's to me, its placement on the album is very interesting, because throughout the album, as we talked about in ranking this, there's, you know, he opens the album talking about I Try to Get Over You.
Right.
Magic, which, okay, right. People, I will probably re-rank and put Magic higher because, right. you know, it's good. But this song, it's like towards the end of the album, and now he's looking, you know, optimistically at the future, you know? So I kind of looking at it under those guises, I kind of like that a little bit more.
Right.
You know, and again, I almost like that version that he did on Parkinson better.
Yes.
It was so understated.
And stripped, you know.
And very stripped down. So yeah, I might be plain Jane and like it and be predictable, but I like Your Loving Flame and this, and I wish I should have just gripped the Driving Rain tour book, but I didn't. This was Wix's favorite song off the album. So if that kind of gives you a little insight about Wix and the things that he likes about McCartney, this was Wix's favorite song on the record. Good.
Yeah, Serge thinks that if you added The Whole Life, the song he did with Dave Stewart.
Oh, Dave Stewart. Stewart. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a fine song.
Yeah.
And then Vanilla Sky, he thinks it would have elevated the album. The finished product, I think, of Whole Life, I think is pretty good. You know, once it got in the studio, because that was recorded around this time as well.
Certainly was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Your Loving Flame is my clear-cut favorite, and that's my Driving Rain ranked. So go, right. partner. What are you taking this home?
All right. I'm taking you home with Your Way. You know,
right.
yeah, you know, this changed to today. You know, I didn't have this at number one.
Oh, you did change this, you little
kid. My number one changed today after listening to the album again earlier today.
What was it?
Riding in the Jaipur was my number one.
Okay, couldn't argue.
You know, because I just, you know, I love the song, but Your Way, I mean, listening to it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times again today was, I love the country and the feel of it. Oh. And it just really hit me earlier today. And it's just, you know, I like his singing. I like the playing on this. And it all just worked with me just today. And I just.
So you switched it.
I switched it around, and it just felt right. It just felt right. Your Way being number one for me on this album.
Can't argue with that ranking. It's certainly up there.
You gave me love. You gave me what I wanted. You gave me love your way. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. That's a great
Your Way is strong. Your way. Right. And I like the way he sings it. You know,
it's almost like he was channeling that Sally G era again.
Yeah. You know? Again. You know. Yeah. Yeah,
it's a great choice. Great choice at number one for sure. Tim Allen said this whole album feels like a funeral service to me. I'd rather listen to something a little sunnier. That's my problem with the album. That's a fair criticism.
Well, the next album won't be any sunnier.
with
Chaos.
But it's better.
it is better. True.
Yeah, it's better. Tony DeMeo, Andy, I'm shocked. Why? Because I had, you know, because you shouldn't be surprised if I had that number one. But yeah, the next album isn't any sunnier, but I think it is a little bit. it's a little bit more optimistic than this record, don't you think?
Maybe, maybe a little bit, but I mean, music and the musically, I don't feel that, you know,
with Chaos.
Yeah, Chaos. I don't feel it musically, as being a lighter.
With How Kind of You and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, especially exactly. When we get to the lyrics on that album, obviously I just think as soon as Chaos came out, it just was hailed as an instant classic. You know, it was critically accepted, and it was accepted with the fans. You know, here he is. Doing like it's almost like a Plastic Ono style kind of album.
True. But that's Driving Rain for you for the Tom and Andy show here. And I will re-listen to Rinse the Raindrops and see what we think. But
cool, right on. So yeah, that's our look at Driving Rain this weekend. Our new show is really interesting. We're talking about projects that have been announced, and where are they? You know what I mean? So like, McCartney talked about releasing a Soundcheck album in 2019, what happened to that? So, we kind of speculate on a few things. We had a lot of fun talking about these projects, there was also announced that they were going to have a career spanning documentary on Paul, ending with the Glastonbury show from that was supposed to happen last year. So a lot of projects that have been announced but have been put on the shelf for whatever reason. So check that out this Saturday. And the following week we got Chaos and Creation ranking the tracks, which will be either Tuesday or Wednesday night, just depends on our schedules. And then we're also going to be doing a show on Saturday with on Ubu Jubu with our good friend Ethan Alexanian. So be on the lookout for that. So Andy, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about a new offshoot show that I'm doing with our friend Ethan Alexanian, which some of you might have seen. We'll leave this comment right here, Tim. I have a sealed vinyl copy of Driving Rain, will remain sealed. Keep that sucker sealed, Tim. Yeah. Good on you. Yep. Good on you. We're doing an offshoot show together, he and I, called Anything But the Beatles. And we're going to talk about 10 or so, once a month, we're going to put out a show where we kind of discuss 10 shared albums of groups that we like, The Who, Yes, right. Genesis. These are all bands that he and I like. And we're going to kind of kick it around. And the first one that we are going to do is going to be The Who Sell Out from 1967, because that's getting a super deluxe edition on April 23rd. And that's going to be the first one that we do together. And we haven't done it yet, but we just planned it out. And really looking forward to working with Ethan. He's a great kid and, has a big, big, big love of all kinds of music, just like I do and Tom does. So, and we're going to be working on that over the next few months. Nothing crazy, just one show a month to do that. So,
Look forward to that.
That's what I'm up to. So.
Excellent. Serge, not a lot of bonus tracks, not our B-sides for this. for this album. So it's like, he had the 16 tracks and that was it. He ended up putting all 16 tracks on the album, on the CD. A lot of bands were doing that right now. They were taking advantage of all that space on the CDs, Guns N' Roses, the Use Your Illusion albums. I mean, those were almost packed. The Metallica albums during those years, those CDs were packed, so people were taking advantage of all that extra space and putting a lot more songs
to pad things out. Cause you had 80 minutes as opposed to 40, 45,
On
a vinyl LP.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So, all right. So that's it for tonight. Thank you all for joining us. And, we really appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to our channel. We're getting close to that 600 number. So we just want to keep that going. And again, everybody out there, as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.